Good afternoon, good evening, good metal. My name's Coop and welcome to the Spoken Metal Show. Well, what can I say? Well, first and foremost, I can say, because I have now regained my voice after the Metal to the Masses, the Heat 1, somewhere in between sets, I was shouting so much and championing the scene so much that I basically lost my voice the next day. I couldn't speak, which will obviously get a round of applause from many of you. But it meant that normally in the days after, I unpack the show and I review it. And we have a conversation about that and tell you what I think and kind of look forward to the next show. And I'll do a preview show for that separately. This time I'd lost my voice. I just couldn't speak. It was hoarse. It's like, I don't know what to tell you. I lost it completely. Because I was at some points just screaming at the audience in many ways, because it was that kind of night. It was exceptional, and so in doing so, in having that moment where I couldn't talk about the show, I got time to unpack it fully in my mind and get the feedback off the fans and feedback off the bands and crew and the people at work, the show as well, which was really nice to get. Sometimes you don't realise kind of what's going on until you step back a little bit, and it gave me time to step back. And this is what this show is. It's a preview show for the next one I will do separately from this, because there's a lot to talk about there. But this show is a review of what happened. And it's not really like a view where this was good, this was bad type of thing. I don't really do criticism in that respect. Anybody who listens to the show will know that I try to keep it always positive and talk about the things that were great, but I'll always, you know, keep it 100 and keep it honest and tell you what I thought about the whole thing, and that's what I want to try and do. So this is a review of Metal to the Masses 2023, Metal to the Masses Merseyside 2023 Heat 1, and you know, let's be completely honest, and I always will, dear listener, I will always be as completely honest as I can be. This was a big deal for me personally to make sure that this happened, because it's one of the pillars of proving that you have a scene in your area. If you don't have Metal to the Masses, and obviously I've talked separately about Metal to the Masses, you know, almost endlessly, you can't really say you have a scene. You just can't, you know, because it's so important, because Metal to the Masses is so important to Bloodstock. By extension, is also incredibly important. You can't claim to have a scene unless you have that going on. And so it was important. It was very important that this happened. It was off the back of the other thing that we're trying to do is the Metal on Merseyside project is to try and get some representation on Liverpool Sound City. And there was some messing around and some bits and pieces with that, which I'll talk about later on subsequent other episodes. But it was one of those ones where, you know, you have to work really hard, and no one works harder than Andy at Deathwave to make Metal to the Max. It's a savage undertaking. It's so much. It's not just like playing one gig, you're playing several and a final, and bands have to be kind of, you know, moved around and complement each other and make sense and organized, and it's quite an undertaking, to be honest with you. And it takes most of the year to do, and anybody that does Bloodstock and Metal to the Masses and promotes it will tell us, you know, that it's all round. It's not just for this small window that it happens. At the same time that this was going on, our friends in Wales were having theirs, and our friends in Manchester had theirs as well. So it was like, it's the first signs of spring, if you will, or summer, we should say, because it leads to bands being playing Bloodstock, and it's just, it gears you up almost for the festival season. And it's just it's one of those sort of flags of like, here we go, we're going to go into this great summer of shows and summer of gigs and thereafter. And so it's an incredible undertaking, it really is. And you know, the conversations that I had with Andy, I just wanted to do as much as I could to help him do that and be there wherever I could to help and support my scene and this our scene. And so it takes a lot of work, it really does. And I can't say enough how much Andy puts into this to try and get it to happen. And it's tough. And I want to just talk about one of the things that we discussed. We want to have it melted the masses and ideas that were floating around. One of the biggest ones we had out from the Metal on Merseyside project was that we got told that there was people who were under 18 who couldn't go to metal shows. They couldn't go to them because they couldn't get into a club, because the club is 18 and over, obviously, because of and they couldn't get to a show. So they, if you were under 18, you couldn't get to a metal show. You couldn't do that. If you were in a band, you couldn't play that show. So where the fuck are we? Are the new crop of metal coming then? So I discovered like Metallica in kind of 14, 15, you know, and so I can't go to a club and see what a pit's like and see what my local scene is until I'm 18. We thought that was bullshit, because it is bullshit. And so we hatched a plan to make sure that we could get at least 16, 17-year-olds able to come into a show some way. And that's not an easy undertaking, ladies and gentlemen, to both do it safely and correctly, to make sure that that's not messed around with, that it's, you know, it's open to messing around and kind of having problems with underage people getting drunk. And so you have to police that correctly. It has to be done the right way. The last thing you want is for that event to have something bad happen to one of those people under 18. They get drunk or whatever it may be, and it sours the whole thing. So it was a difficult undertaking. But, you know, this is one of those things that Andy got over the line. You know, we had the ideas and stuff, but he got it over the line. It's not about kind of who has the ideas, or even, to be honest with you, who gets it done. But Andy got it over the line and made it happen. And I believe that is going to be the case for all the metal to the masses. And I may be wrong here, you know, comments if it is the case. I think that is the first time in the metal to the masses history that it has been done. I'm sure it's the same for Metal to the Masses on Merseyside, but I'm pretty sure it's the same for Metal to the Masses as a whole, that's never been done before. And it was a risk, because you're like, what if it fucks up? What if it goes wrong? You know, blah, blah, blah. There's all these things that run through your mind. But we stuck to the mantra that Metal on Merseyside has, that we wanted to... Metal is for all, it's for everybody. You know, and whatever we can help that, we should do. And so, before the show, I went outside and there's a queue, a long queue, a large, long queue to get in. This is Heat 1, and I just want to put this into perspective. Heat 1's for Metal to the Masses. I've been to a few of them in various places, and they're normally not great. There it is. I said it. They're normally not great. People tend to, like, go into the final or go in to see when their particular band that they're fans of are... This wasn't the case. There was people here to see metal, irrespective of the bands. They wanted to see the live metal. And honestly, it made my heart sing. And so I'm going to try and do this a bit more, and I'll explain why in a second. I'm going to do more queue runs where I go up and down the queue and talk to the people coming into the show. And as a sidebar, I do this via, and I do put this on TikTok. You may have seen some of the TikToks or Instagram or wherever it shows up, or YouTube Shorts or whatever. And already I can hear some of the maybe sort of the older metal fans rolling their eyes. You know, it's like, TikTok, isn't that for kids? Are you going to do a stupid dance now, Coop? And in reality, it's just a different method of reaching a different audience, or more audience, if you will, for what... intrinsically we're trying to do as a project with Metal on Merseyside, and certainly intrinsically as a project I'm doing for my scene that I'm involved with, and for our scene. I keep saying my scenes because I feel passionately about it, but it's the scene in Merseyside, and the only way we can do that is where people are listening and try and get in their ears through that way, or through their eyes through that way. So, you know, if it means I go through Facebook or TikTok or whatever the social media du jour is, I'm going to do that. And what's interesting is that the TikToks and the videos have been way more well received than any of the spoken metal show podcasts. And that's not that they've not been received. It's just that it's another way that's how the another generation is taking their music and is kind of discovering it. And that's how they're doing it. And I've had a lot of messages about that, and all positive. And so I got to talk firsthand with the audience, with the people that are part of this scene. There was all ages, all genders, every kind of style of metal was on show in this queue of people. And at one point in that queue of people was the 16, 17-year-olds. They had battle vests on, and they were, you know, they were right up for the show and kind of just wanted to see metal. And they were the young fans who were finding out who their band is. You know, am I like, for me it was like Metallica or whatever it may be. For them, it was they were finding out their bands, and they were just at that beautiful age of discovering these bands, and they were like, well, I want to see live. I can't, you know, I can see Metallica when they tour, and I can see Slayer and Slipknot and bands like that when they tour. Well, maybe not Slayer anymore, but I can see these bands, but I can't see my local bands doing it. I can't see what's going on there. And to see them in a queue and then in the show was quite something. It felt like what we're doing here, ladies and gentlemen, is of meaning. And what we're doing here, it actually is of purpose. And so that's why, you know, I started to shout about there being no scene in Liverpool, ironically. I hope most people got onto the irony that was injected into that. But it was that I wanted to be like, look, this is ridiculous now that it's not getting the attention it deserves. It's actually ridiculous. There is a scene. What the fuck? You need to be part of it. And that's what these videos have been trying to illustrate, that not only is there a scene, it is thriving. Not only is it thriving, but it's creatively interesting. And it's also something that you should be involved with. And there was people saying, where is this show? What the fuck? I didn't even know this was going on. That's, ladies and gentlemen, the algorithmic warfare that needs to take place now, is that we need to show people when shows are going on and when bands are playing. Because it's difficult to break through the endless fucking crazy TikToks of people, you know, doing mad shit and the Instagram stuff of adverts and we're still on Facebook. We need to break through that to get the message of metal across to the audience. But it was working, ladies and gentlemen. Now, that was quite something to see. I tell you what else I've seen. I've seen in the crowd, well, sorry, just a queue to get in, people from other bands who are playing on other heats. That's fucking cool. There was bands there that were coming to check out what was going on because they were metal fans, irrespective of the competition. So that was a very, very cool to see. And then, so I took a couple of those videos, and I think that they've been quite well received. I'm going to do more of those Q videos because I like meeting the fans as well. It's cool. You know, some of them even listen to the show, and some of them are like, you know, hey, spoken metal, that's cool. You're the spoken metal guy is what I get a lot, that's cool. I don't care as long as, you know, you're coming and checking out the great metal that our scene has. And so I was inside and doing various bits and pieces and interviewing and chatting and all the other bullshit that I do backstage. And I kept going out, and the queue was getting bigger. Even though they were letting people in, it was still going. And I turned to Brandon. And I just want to shout out to Brandon. He kind of runs things at the Zanzi. And I was like, what's the fucking cap, mate? You know, what's the capacity? Because I genuinely thought we could sell out. We didn't. You know, I'll always tell you how it is. We didn't. You know, but if that's heat one, and it gets better, I think the final will probably sell out. And that makes me very proud. I'm very proud. I'm very grateful that, you know, that the fans did that. And then you go in and it's packed. It's actually packed full of people. We're told, you know, that there isn't a scene. I don't know what the fuck these people are watching. There is a scene. Rockflesh, well, this is one of the reasons why it was good that I lost my voice, because it's a chance to read through reviews and see kind of people's takes on it. And there was a review in Rockflesh, a fantastic piece of journalism, talking about exactly how I felt, that there was a scene and it was ridiculous that it was being ignored. And it was nice to see that in the place was fucking chocker. It was absolutely chocker. And that's kind of the goal, you know, You worry, any promoter worth his salt, no matter who you're putting on, there is a moment when, fuck, will anybody turn up? You get imposter syndrome and you think, will fucking anybody turn up? And it keeps you healthy, it keeps you honest, because you put everything you can into that show. You should do everything you can into that show. And I'm sure there was a part where Andy thought that no one would turn up. I'm sure he did, you know. And then to see that, him at the box office, just endless people coming in. That's fucking cool. And I'll tell you another thing as well, yeah. And I'll tell you another thing. I was seeing some faces I've seen before as well now, and seeing other heats and representing, really representing, coming out and supporting their scene. as well as a whole new group of people that I hadn't met before. Fucking epic. So already it was off to a really good start. There was a wonderful energy. I'm a big fucking hippie, really, and there's wonderful energy in the room that people were like, we are fucking, we're really up for this. And so I'm side of stage waiting to go on to do my usual, this is how you vote, welcome to the show and all that bollocks. And I'm chatting to Black Kettle, and you know, they were very kind enough to say they listened to the show and what have you. And they were right up for this. And I was like, oh shit, because I'd only heard that there wasn't that much music on Spotify for Black Kettle. So it was difficult to kind of get a bead of what they were. I did a little bit of a preview show and talked about this, but it was really, you know, we're going to see what they're kind of doing. And they were fucking exceptional. They were really good. There was a couple of sort of sound issues for them. Nothing crazy, but there was some kind of sound issues there. But generally speaking, they were fucking right up for it. And the crowd immediately responded. And they did something which I talked about at the show, and I will talk for here for the people that weren't at the show, that's why we do a review, that the rule is that you're not allowed to play covers if you are competing in Metal to the Masses. That's fair enough. That makes complete sense, and it's as it should be. And then so about just a song before the end, the last song, obviously, they said that they were playing this for their friend. I later found out that their friend had passed away, and this particular song was, I believe, their friend's favourite song. And it was the, you listeners here may know as the Nirvana song that they played, but it's actually a Led Belly song, Where Did You Sleep Last Night? I think that's the full title. And they played that effectively disqualifying themselves from the competition. And I said at the time, and I said to them on the interview afterwards, I thought that that was one of the most metal things that anybody's ever done, you know, to automatically disqualify, because they were like, we're playing tonight and we're going to honour our friend by playing a song that he really liked. It just so happened that that was a cover, and it just so happens that that gets disqualified. But there you go. No disrespect to the competition, but we are playing this song. And that was beautiful. That I think that vibe went through the whole show. And people just getting up to play a fucking great show. And if they get through to Bloodstock, great. If they don't, then played a great show. And so I came out after that and said that I said there is no scene in Liverpool, and the crowd very organically told me to fuck off. And that was exactly the response I was after. And then we started this whole thing of every single time I came back up, I was like, there is no scene in Liverpool. Everybody were like, fuck off. And it was beautiful because people realised that there was then, that it was so ridiculous that there was a scene. And there was people in that room as well that realised that maybe didn't understand metal, maybe a little bit, but certainly got the sentiment. And then we got to the Devil's Henchmen, and I knew Devil's Henchmen would be good. I think I'm pretty sure I picked them to win. I've been fairly right with most of the winners. I picked them to win because I thought it was too close to call, but I thought that they would edge it, and they just fucking destroyed. You know, it was one of those performances where you're like, that's the performance to beat. Maybe that's the performance to beat, full stop, in the whole competition. It was one of those performances by a sure-footed band that understood their material, that understood their audience, that understood exactly what they were doing and who they were, and that's an incredibly powerful combination to have. And they just fucking owned it. It was thrash. It was Metallica. You know, there was Megadeth in there. There was all kinds of great stuff in there. And then the crowd goes crazy. So we get to see people, moshing and pits and stuff like that. And it woke up. And then you see, you know, I don't want to well up here because I wanted to, you know, at least. why did I even say that? Of course I did. Of course I found it beautiful. There was a moment where a kid got on stage and stage dived, and the crowd helped him. And I thought that was very cool. It is very cool. You know, that's a cool ass thing to happen. But later I found out that I believe it was his uncle came to me and said that that person had quite a difficult life and was just coming back to normality and civilization or whatever you want to, however you want to say it. And this was their first show, and they hadn't been to a show for a long, long time. and it meant the world to them. And then, he told me this, and I was a bit taken aback, to say the least. But it just shows you that how powerful this is, how powerful this music that we love is, and it is incredibly powerful. And that really encapsulated what we were trying to do here. That meant everything to that person. You know, be it they were the only person there, or there was 200 people in the room, it meant everything to them there. And the guys in the crowd and the girls in the crowd just went fucking crazy. There was pits going off. It was left, right, and centre. It was like a proper metal show, as it should be. Why do I sound surprised that it was a proper metal show? Because it was everything was there. Everybody enjoying themselves. And then, you know, I got up again, and I was like, let's do a wall of death. And we did a slow wall of death. It ended up in a hug, which was weird and bizarre. But the crowd were just, you know, I like to talk to people in the crowd and name check them. There's a guy in the crowd who it was the first time he'd ever been to a live metal show. And I was like, is this the first time you've moshed? And it was just this, that was brilliant. It was just a brilliant thing to happen. You realize that you're not just playing for you on this, you're playing for a lot of other people. And it meant an incredible great deal to me. And then we had Spitfire. And you could see, I mean, it was talked about in reviews, you could see that they knew they had to follow the Devil's Henchmen. And that was going to be a tall order. And I think maybe even the first one or two songs, they were a little bit like, shit, how do we even follow that? Because it was so good. But they did the best thing that they could have done, is they played their set. They played their set and their music. They didn't try and, you know, go one way or the other, try and pander to the crowd or try and follow what the henchmen were doing. They played their own set. When you do that, when you're and you play, you know, the music you love really well, that wins people over, and it won the crowd over. And then after, when they finished playing, and that was a great set, it was a really great set, and they're going to be really special, Spitfire, I think, when they finally kind of blossom, and they're still in budding stage. I would say that we'll wait for them to blossom, and when they finally do, they're going to be a really interesting act to see, a really interesting band. And as they came off, I think they were kind of almost thought that they didn't go over. I think that they generally thought that was a bad set, and I stopped them. I was like, no, you need to look back. And there was a crowd asking for more. They was like, play one more. I was like, look, you did that. That's important. That is that they understood that was the effect that they had. I think they're going to be a great band. They are a great band. I think they're going to be even better. I think if they stick to what they play, I think they're going to be absolutely incredible act to watch. I'm really looking forward to seeing Spitfire again. I want to see them develop. They're currently playing some shows with Nova Crow, so that's just made in heaven. That. And so those were your three bands, apart from the headliners, obviously, I'll talk about in a sec. They were the three bands, and what a diverse collection of music and artists. They're brilliant. Wonderful, diverse thing, and the crowd lapped all of them up. There was no hooked off after their set, and bands were there watching the other bands as well. It's that kind of cohesion that holds this whole thing together, and this belief that this is an important thing that we're doing. And you know, it's not without difficulties. You know, security did a fantastic job, and you know, and the people that are in security, I'm working with them now. So they understand, you know, what's going on with the pit and what's going on with stage diving and what can be allowed and what isn't allowed. And they're willing to learn and go, okay, is this okay? Is that okay? And, you know, they're really kind of want everybody's best show that they can have. And this is just something that's going to bloom and get better as they understand the genres. Not that they didn't understand it, but learn the nuances of it, of which there are many. And so that was really good to see as well. And then this whole thing is like, you know, Metal to the Masses 2020 Merseyside Heat 1. But it was also Colpaclysis's album launch, Elegant Degradation. I keep saying Colpaclysis wrong and Colpaclysis, and I kept saying it wrong. And on the night, I corrected myself there. It's Colpaclysis. And for them to do this as their album, they could have filled that venue, and they could have filled many venues there and done their album launch completely on their own, and it would have been great. They chose to do it as part of the metal to the masses, and that speaks a lot for them. You know, Joe Mortar was the bassist in that. He's also involved in the metal on Merseyside project. But that whole band, they chose to do that. They chose to be, you know, do their album launch. And what was great was that their slam, caveman slam riffs, if you will. And the audience maybe hadn't ever even seen that. Certainly some of the younger crowd had never seen that. There was a girl next to me who was mind was blown by it in a very positive way, where she was like, what the fuck is the name of this band? I had to show her on my phone because it was so loud. And they chose to do that. The album itself is fucking great. I've talked about the album before. It's great. It's a real crystallization of what they're trying to do. And often, as I've said before, that slam can sometimes be seen dumbed down, that there's like dumb elements to it. And it's just not. Anybody that's into that scene, though, it's not. The work that's gone into this album, both from an educational point of view, a learning and kind of exploring and researching stuff, is incredible by Joe and the guys. But the playing is really, this is their best version, as it should be. Every time you do an album, it should be a better version of what the one you've done before. This felt like a real important moment for them. And it was difficult, you know, there was moments where the crowd were like, what do we do? And there was moments where the security were like, how do we correctly sort of police this? But ultimately, a triumph where it shows just what's the smorgasbord of metal that is out there, the different genres, and how they can all coexist beautifully, and how this whole thing coagulates into a scene, into an actual scene. What is a scene? A scene is a musical upspring of creative content, and undoubtedly it was proved completely true that thing. And they played a great set, and I saw a lot of bands sort of mentally taking notes about how to put in intro tapes and things like that, and kind of how to pace the set and stuff. They were learning as much as they were there to play as well, and it was a wonderful experience. And then, you know, it was very close, but the Devil's Henchmen are now going through to the final, and that final just looks fucking ridiculous already. With one band in, it already looks fucking ridiculous. Currently, yeah, they're the Devil's Henchmen are the band to beat because they're the only band doing it. But I can see a lot of bands going, okay, that's the fucking bar, is it? Because not only is there a lot of good quality metal going on, some of it's way above good quality, some of it's fucking brilliant, some of it's going to get taken away from us, ladies and gentlemen, as these bands become massive and start to go and play on bigger and bigger shows. And you're seeing them now, which is the whole point of Metal to the Masses. You're seeing these bands now. And that's why this is, the project itself is very important. Certainly Metal to the Masses is important. And it's important that we add the 16, 17-year-olds as well, as that we showed the route map of, if you play this this show and do this and do this, you can headline like Carl Bacalysis did, you can do, and then eventually you can play the new Blood stage. And this is the route. And I always talk about this. This is the way forward and the route map you can take if you're a metal artist. And it was so important to prove that this one of the starting points can be within the city that you are based in. That's incredibly important. It shows a route map. Do this, do this, do this, this. And eventually you can play Bloodstock and then beyond. And we showed that. That evening, and near the end, I was just beside myself, both emotionally and physically, lost my voice, completely fucking spent. But emotionally, because I am a tiny, teeny, tiny part of this whole thing, but I felt as though we'd won. I felt as though we'd won people over, we'd proved our point, and then you know, that there is a scene, and it's beautiful, and it's growing, and sometimes it's like a good gig. You kind of you're quite euphoric about it, and you go back and you ask, "Well, this wasn't good. That wasn't good." But the feedback that I got off all the bands and the fans was nothing but positive, and that means a great deal. And I want to thank you individually when I see you, but also collectively on this podcast when I say that this is yours. It belongs to you, and it's curated by you. I am merely someone that points away a little signpost to show you that exists. If you weren't at that show, you really owe it to yourself to get to the next heats. I'll do preview shows for them, but you really, really owe it to yourself to get to these shows now. And that's what I've seen a lot of people saying. They're like, what the fuck? I am at the next show for sure. I think that the final will sell out, which has never been done before. And that's very special because now people are looking. I was approached by a few people involved with the Zanzi and a few people involved with the whole scene that were like, oh shit, we see. We are being seen. That people are realizing that it is. And they'll either get on board or they won't, but this scene is happening with or without them. And for me, ladies and gentlemen, that is a victory all the way around. I really hope that those at the show got the vibe that I did and enjoyed it. I fucking know they did. I know they enjoyed it as much as I did, some cases even more. And if that was your first show and the first time in your pit and stuff, oh, fucking amazing. Amazing. And so thank you. Thank you from everybody that's involved with Metal to the Masses, everybody involved with Metal on Merseyside. And personally, thank you for that. I've never been into like fan shaming and saying, oh, if you don't come to the scene, you're not a true fan. I'm just here to say this is one way you can support your scene. And I urge you to do that and try and remove all the barriers like that can stop you coming to a show. That's what I'm trying to do. And I'm interested in your thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. Please message me on the various social medias that you see me on. And let's have a conversation. If you want to know when the next shows are and stuff and break the algorithm, and I can keep you informed. And I want to see you at these shows and talk to you and see what you think, how we can help the scene and how we can show this to the, Liverpool Sound City and the council and people's scene. And it must be supported financially as well. And these venues must be supported by getting off your arse and coming to a show. And all I'll ever do is show you what a good time it was. And believe me, Metal to the Masses, Merseyside, 2023, the first heat was a very good time. Only thanks for you listening to the show. I deeply appreciate it. It means a lot to me. I've had some very, very nice messages and people at the show now. I'm starting to see in person is quite mind-blowing. Bands have told me, and Devil's Henchman, for example, told me that they had one of the shows on why they were in the studio. If you're listening to this and you are a fledgling metal band in the Merseyside area, listen to this. I'd be in the studio while you're practicing. First of all, keep fucking going, okay? Keep fucking going. We've proved there is a scene. You have a platform for which you can play your music. It exists. It exists. Get writing, get playing. And I will see you at these shows. We'll get you gigs. We'll get you on that stage. If you are a fan, listen to this and you're sitting at home or you're in your car somewhere, there is a scene. It is out there. It welcomes you with open arms. Thanks for listening. And I'll see you at the show.